Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back to the Nerdcore Podcast, a podcast that reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. As always, is the nerd kind of here to host the show along with my wonderful co-host, Dan Yoda.
Hi, everybody. I didn't see you there.
Oh, shut up. And joining us again for the second week in a row, the whole host.
I lose track of time.
Hey.
Yeah.
What day is it? Fuck if I know.
Was that last week?
I don't remember. Last week? No, I think it was the week before that. I'm sorry, because last week was the snowstorm.
Time is an illusion.
Yeah. Whatever. Either way, we're here for your Judas and the Black Messiah review. Hope everyone's having a good day. Let's get ready here to ask. Brad, how are you doing, bro?
I'm here. It's Thursday. I've had two beers already. I'm good.
All right, man. Jill?
I'm acting like it's a goddamn Friday. I'm ready.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm done. I'm fucking done. Even though I got so much shit to do, I'm done.
Yeah. Dude, this week's been a long week, hasn't it?
This whole month. Yeah. Or last month.
Yeah, this has just been an absolute
shit. I need a nap. Bro. I need a 3-day nap. That's what I need.
Yeah.
But
we're glad that everybody is here and joining us. I hope that everyone's having a wonderful, wonderful day today. Whether you're listening to this on Saturday, if you're in the public, or whether you're listening to this on Friday because you're a patron at patreon.com/nerdcore. We're live to you all on YouTube, Twitch, and Periscope at the same damn time. Wonderful patrons get access to the audio version of this early before anybody else. The video version of this goes unlisted before it goes what's it called public on Saturday. I don't even know what Gio's doing.
At the same damn time.
Yeah.
Donations. Yeah.
No, Brad. No.
Donations.
All right. Yeah. So that's yeah. But Gio's treating today as it's Friday. Brad is tired from his work, and we did a movie commentary yesterday. This has been a busy week, by the way.
That was a fun movie commentary, by the way.
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah.
Michelle absolutely hated that fucking movie.
Yeah.
She was like, "I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm watching this. I can't even hear the dialogue." Fuck this shit.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on with the dialogue.
I heard it, and I just felt bad for the one cop.
Yeah.
That's all I felt bad for, because you could tell he was totally done, and he just wanted to go home.
He didn't give a shit about his job, bro. He did not give a shit about his job.
He's like, "I just want this coffee. This coffee's fucking good. That's why I'm here."
Yeah. It's crazy how Gio just moves like an inch away from the screen, and then the white balance goes a different freaking color.
I know. I just made it even darker, just to just a slightly darker to see if I can look like I'm not from Borg 9. So
yeah. All right. Either way, we're here to review Judas and the Black Messiah, one of the newest releases of 2021. We watched it on HBO Max. So if you guys want to watch it, the film is on HBO Max. It'll be on HBO Max until the end of the month. So get to it. So, with that being said, there's no more stalling around. I mean, I could just, let's just get into it. Usually I like to spend a little 5 minutes just chatting. But let's get it on. Yes, indeed. Like Marvin Gaye said. Without further ado, if you all do not care about spoilers, then go ahead and keep listening. If you do care about spoilers, then go ahead and click off. Either way, how it goes, this has been your spoiler warning, and it is in effect in a 5, 4, 3. 2, 1.
Ah, babe!
Now that's a spoiler warning.
Now that's a spoiler warning. Judas and the Black Messiah is a 2021 American biographical drama film about the betrayal of Fred Hampton, played by Daniel Kaluuya, chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party in the late 1960s, Chicago, at the hands of William O'Neill, played by Lakeith Stanfield. An FBI informant, Jesse Plemons, Dominique Fishback, Ashton Sanders, Darrell Britt Gibson, Lil Ray Howery, Algie Smith. Lil Rel? Oh, wow, I'm sorry. Lil Rel Howery, Algie Smith, and Martin Sheen? I'm thinking about Kevin Steen. Martin Sheen also star. The film is directed and produced by Shaka King, who wrote the screenplay with Will Burson, based on a story by the pair and Kenny and by the pair and Kenny and Keith Lucas. A Fred Hampton biopic had been in the works for several years, with both the Lucas brothers and Will Burson writing and shopping screenplays individually since 2014. Burson's version almost got made with F. Gary Gray directing, but when that fell through, King was hired to helm the project. The cast joined in 2019 with the blessings of Hampton's family, with filming taking place that fall in Ohio. Judas and the Black Messiah premiered at the 2021 Sundance Film Festival on February 1st, 2021, and was released in the United States by Warner Bros. Pictures on February 12th, simultaneously in theaters and digitally on HBO Max. The film was lauded by critics and was praised, who praised King's direction, the performances, and its timely themes. For his performance, Kaluuya won Best Supporting Actor at the Golden Globes and was nominated for the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Wait, SAG Awards already out? Jesus. Oh, I think they've been out, right? Yeah. All right. Music by Mark Isham and Craig Harris. Also to note that Charles D. King and Shaka King produces alongside Ryan Coogler. Cinematography by Sean Bobbitt. Edited by Kristen Sprague. And it sits at 2 hours and 6 minutes with a budget of $26 million. It's made $4.2 million back at the box office.
Which doesn't count for the HBO Max.
Yeah, that's not counting HBO Max stuff. So, let's go ahead and open the floor. We'll be nice gentlemen here and let our guests go first. So, Gio, what were your initial thoughts on Judas and the Black Messiah?
I am in an awkward position here, because as good technically of a movie this is, I found myself having those mediocre feels, not because of the movie itself necessarily, but because I've seen this before. I've seen historically a radical being in the limelight and having to deal and like us watching a radical die. And so I didn't feel any of that pain. And in moments I could recognize the strong writing and storytelling of the movie. I was left with the fact of it being another movie like this, which isn't the movie's fault. It's more society's fault.
Yeah.
And so I feel bad for this. I feel bad about that being a part of my experience watching this movie.
Yeah. All right, Brett.
I want to start off with saying Jesse Plemons just has such a punchable face in this. Oh, he really does.
Man. Jesse Plemons, man. God, I love that guy.
Just such a punchable face in this. I think this movie's beautiful. Like, cinematography-wise, straight just gorgeous. Straight just gorgeous. That bar scene where he's walking by and the light on the car. Just fucking amazing. Gio's right. We've seen this quite a few times. We've seen it with Malcolm X. We've seen it with Selma. We've seen him with a bunch of other things. Yeah. But I am glad they are bringing Fred Hampton.
Yeah.
And his story to this, because he's one of those figures that hasn't really been shown throughout history as being a part of that movement. At least, you know, worldwide or nationwide, or to my eyes anyway. But I thought it was a pretty amazing storytelling. And the only issue I really had is in sometimes the dialogue. I don't know if it was an accent or it was just I'm deaf. I just had a hard time being able to see what he said and some of his speeches. And I had to rewind it and listen to it again. And I would catch it the second time. It's just that first round, I don't know if I'm deaf or it was the accent.
I think you're deaf, bro. Yes. I got it down pretty good. But I don't know. Brad is getting older.
There were just certain scenes where I just had a hard time understanding what he said.
I mean, that happened with me too. I don't know if it was maybe just like my volume when I watched it. I did have to play with that a bit. But
if it was during
have it like louder than I usually have my TV, even with like the settings of the streaming service.
If it was during that speech when he's coming back from prison,
it was that one. Yes,
I think that there was an odd mixing of the crowd with the voice.
Which could have been it, because I couldn't catch his speech that first time. I caught bits and pieces, but I had to go back to hear the whole thing.
Yeah,
which is a very powerful moment, which kind of sucks in that I just didn't catch it the first time.
Yeah, this movie is absolutely masterful. This is, as you know, technicalities wise, everything from the editing and cinematography to just the patience that Shocker King has with his direction throughout this movie is absolutely incredible. I mean, it's just how seamlessly that camera moves, how we're just doing so well directing with establishing these character development moments while still sending us to this ride of this crescendo that we see coming from the beginning. Like, yeah, we know the story of Fred Hampton. We know what happens, but we keep on taking those steps necessary to get there. And he does it so seamlessly. And it's really the biggest thing. Yes, the performances are incredible by Kaluuya and by Stanfield. I knew that already. Like, these are two actors who are in absolutely a league of their own right now. They are some of the greatest actors right now. But I came out of this movie mostly singing praises for Shaka King and being like, yo, I need to see the next Shaka King movie. What's other movies for Shaka King? Because I don't know about this guy at all. And now after watching this, I need to see what else he's got under his sleeves. But I got to also give a huge props because, you know, Gio kind of brought it up during our watch. What's it called? Fishback. You know, we last time we saw Dominic Fishback was... what's it called? Project Power. And then we see her in this, which is a completely different thing. And god damn, does she do an amazing job, dude. It's an absolute travesty that I'm not seeing that woman be nominated right now. Because there are just so many raw moments within the film, especially when she's pregnant, that are just like absolutely terrifying. Like that ending... and we're just concentrating on her face, and the police go to murder Fred Hampton. And I'm just like, god fucking damn, what an actress. What a performance. But anything else that stood out? Anything, what's it called, that we want to just report on? I really like the music too, by the way. What great music, musical score to this film.
Like, my absolute favorite scene in that whole film is just a scene that very much... oh, I froze. Did I freeze? I think I...
no, you're good. You didn't. You're good.
Okay. My absolute favorite scene is the scene in the church when he's like, I am a revolutionary. And, like, it's such a, like, end of second act scene. It's, like, it's beautiful of just, like, we're here and then... as the camera changes to each face and the, like, our notable faces in the crowd and how the emotions going on are different. We've got Plemons fuck ass FBI agent. Dominic punchable motherfucking face. He did that shit well. Yeah. We got him in there as a reveal. We've got Dominic Fishback's character. I am bad with names. Okay, Dominic Fishback's character just like having this moment of like she's proud, but like she's also like that tear going down the face of like just the visual medium of film. You can't. Hi, I'm a creative writing major. It's hard to do that shit in a. You can't do that shit in a book.
Yeah.
And so, like, of just like switch back. Oh, you're sad and that's sad. And I, in a way that like I don't have to say words to be like, here I am in the scene and I'm sad and proud. Like, and also, Lakeith Stanfield just whole movie does a fucking clinic. Like, and just. Whole clinic, how you lie, how you act like you're acting,
yeah,
acting and not sure if you're acting to yourself or just to other people.
This man's selling his soul throughout the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
He's selling it for how much did Judas get?
30 pieces.
A gas station.
A gas station. And that's the thing, you know, not even the freaking, you know, bread. You can't give the man his bread. You literally say, hey, here's your business opportunity. Like, away you go. Like, come on, man. But
I've empowered the community.
Yeah, I empowered the community. Instead of giving you the money that you're worth, giving the money that you deserve from doing all this stuff that, let's be real honest here, probably led to his suicide. Instead, you just
Guilt. It did. When that story went out, like, I don't know what he thought was going to happen in real life when he went on TV and explained all this. I don't know how he thought he was going to be seen. It wasn't good.
No.
I think he wanted to own it. Like, I think, like, because he wasn't like, I feel bad, I feel terrible. He was like, I made a choice.
But do you think that's how he really felt?
I don't think he felt terrible, but I think he was like, listen, I'm going to just put it all out on Front Street so then it's known that I did this thing and I own up to it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, if we're going through the current of the movie, like, there is, he's tussling with guilt that whole time. Yeah. Because, like, he thought he was just infiltrating some terrorists or, like, just trying to get a little bit of scratch and, like, found real community and betrayed it. And then got a gas station and went back in, the motherfucker. I can't believe he went back in for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I also have to say, what's it called? Just and Stanfield does such an incredible job portraying that, because there's so many moments within this film that just a simple look at Lakeith's face is saying all of it. Like, I'm having second thoughts about what I'm doing here. Like, it. And the fact that the whole time, the looming presence of the fact that I'm doing this because of my jail time, because I'm being told if I do this, I won't have to go to jail.
Yeah, but he's being told like, oh, you'll go to jail, so you have to do more. You have to do more. And you have to do more. Like, they were never going to let him go. Like, that's why he basically sold his soul. Like, they're not going to let you go, dude. Not until, like, that whole movement's done.
Yeah. Sorry, Eden. We're no longer Twitch affiliates, man. I'm really sorry. On the live show, though, I will do, what's it called? If you wanted me to do a hydrate. I don't have any water on me, but on live show, I take two impressions per day. I mean, two impressions per live show. So, if you want one, come tomorrow to the live show. But, it's just that. And then also just Kaluuya. By the way, one of my favorite lines. One of my favorite lines in there when he's like, when Deborah is in the apartment with Fred, and they're talking, of course, and she's like, you know, telling him how like he's a poet and all this stuff, and she's backing out to leave, and you just see fucking Kaluuya's like, you know, smooth ass just go like, you want some coffee? And initially, I thought about Luke Cage when I heard that, Because remember, when didn't Luke Cage, what's it called, invite? He said, oh, you want some coffee? Guess what? That ended up not being some coffee.
That ain't coffee.
Yeah, and he says, how do you take it? And what did she say? My favorite line in this whole movie. I take it black and sweet.
And then it played it cool, too. Like, I was really looking for that black and sweet, just like me. I was looking for that.
Yeah.
Damn. No. Now, see, look, now I got this joke in my head. Thought you was going to, like, asking you for Cafe Bustelo, but really I was asking for Cafe Bussy.
Oh, man. But, yeah, like, at the same time, I agree with you here. Like, I've seen this story before. I've seen the story of the radical who was, what's it called, who was being persecuted for standing up for his community and standing up for what the community deserves. And I think, first of all, I think that, what this movie does incredibly well is to kind of stomp a little bit on those lies about what a lot of people have made the Black Panther Party to look like. Because anybody who ever discussed the Black Panther Party who wasn't educated that well on it was always like, well, I mean, they hated white people. It's like, yeah, no, not really.
This man literally in the movie tried to start the Rainbow Coalition, which had a bunch of Confederate flag on the wall, white people.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not really what the politics of this was. It was a rage against the white system, which, you know, is still very present at this time. But you saw, you know, his formation of the Rainbow Coalition, and especially the inclusion of the Puerto Ricans at that time. And I thought that was great, how the way that kind of Shaka King brings this in with his writings, like, well, look, this is kind of not what you're being shown by what people think the Black Panther Party actually did. And you saw like a bunch of stuff like free healthcare, wanting to give kids free healthcare, wanting free to food. Free food, after school programs, wanting to, you know, to give them an education and actually educate them on their history as black children in this country, and, you know, showing them, probably teaching them a lot about the African kingdoms. But yeah, what did you guys think about that aspect of the film?
Oh, Jesse Plemons' stupid face wouldn't allow that to happen. So fuck that motherfucker.
I love Plemons. I am looking so much.
I do too, but he plays the bad guy too well.
Too well.
Gio, punchable face.
Yeah, he flipped that switch because, like, at first he's like almost like petting bad. I'm just like kind of like, you know, like I'm gonna have you do the bad thing, but like, you know, we're cool, and like I'm just going to explain to you, blah 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 blah. I let you into my home, but like,
take my child dinners and stuff. Yeah,
Here with like all these fancy people, but away. Yeah, it's. But then like, and that switch with like the hesitation of just like so quick. I'll ruin everything. What will they do? You think they did that to him? What do you think they'll find out when their security captain is a snitch?
Yep.
Ah, so good. I'm looking forward, if I'm talking about Jesse Plemons, I'm interested in what he does with, like, loud, like, if he's able to do, like, to deal with, like, anger. Of, like, I haven't seen, like, his performance in Black Mirror with USS Callister. I haven't seen that, but I'm like looking forward to see like what he does in a place where like his character's angry.
Which is
a random thing for me to think of, but
I really feel like he's the next Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's what I feel like.
You haven't seen I'm Thinking of Ending yet, have you?
No, I haven't. I have not.
You need to watch that.
So yeah, there are moments where he's angry in there.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I got you, fam. All right.
Yeah.
I'm
just very much looking forward to the career of a lot of these actors in here. I know that they don't really. I don't think she's like top billed in here, but she was playing one of the Black Panther Party. What's it called? The members in there.
What's his sister, Patrice?
Sister Patrice. Yeah. What's it called? Big ass pro. She was holding a shotgun. Yeah. I liked her a lot. You know, of course, you know, I was attracted to her, yes, but like just with the utmost respect,
she had that aura.
She had this so much ferocity and just power behind her performance. And like just that simple scene in the car with Lakeith, like, what are you talking about, a badge? And just that look that she was giving Lakeith, like, I felt like in that moment, like, them two were like equally going at it with their performances. And I'm really looking forward to what she can bring. She brings more to her career. But for sure, Dominique Fishback, yeah. You know, I'm really interested to see where else we can go with her, because I mean, to see in Project Power, which I'm not gonna lie, I didn't like Project Power. I didn't think it was good at all. But I was like, yo, this girl's good. This girl's got some chop. And then I see her in this and I'm like, yo, I need to see what Dominique Fishback's up to, because you know, this girl is incredible.
Just for a second to defend Project Power, I think Project Power is one of those movies where, like, it teaches you how to like it. But so yeah. Like, I'm not expecting Judas and the Black Messiah from Project Power, and so when I go in and watch Project Power, I like it. Not like it's like, oh, this is amazing. It's just fun. Had to look. Can I read it?
Yeah.
Hi, Stacy. Stacy says had to look at Plemons' filmography. Now I remember him from the second season of Fargo. Oh, another thing I need to watch.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, I mean, I don't watch Fargo, so yeah. I know that I love Plemons, and I'm thinking of Ending Things. USS Callister, he's great in that. Oh, good Lord, is he great in that freaking in that episode of Black Mirror? But yeah,
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. He was in Breaking Bad. Yeah,
and the movie.
Oh, and the movie, yeah. El Camino.
Yep.
But yeah, man, this movie is really incredible. I just, you know, the same time I was watching, I mean, I had a really great initial reaction to this film, and I'm still feeling that. Like, this to me is my favorite movie of the year so far, but I've only watched two movies so far from this year. So, like, you know, my list isn't big. But I can't get over just how well of a crafted film this is. Like, just how masterfully crafted it is by everybody who's working here. Everything from like the writing and cinematography to the editing and direction and performances, everything kind of makes this really incredible movie. So we're not afraid to do any final thoughts before we move on to the final verdict.
I mean, I guess, like, we've messed up, like, well, not messed up, but, like, I think it's worth mentioning Lil Rel's, like, cameo, and how it's just the coldest shit. It's just cold as hell. It's cold as hell.
Hey, hold on. Lil Rel was in Get Out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He was TSA.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was cold
as hell.
Cold as hell. Bro, this man literally, what's it called, makes Lakeith Stanfield feel like he's being, you know, watched and being like, you know, what's it called, being followed. And he's like, let me see your badge. Gives him the badge. And it's this fake badge from when he got arrested, bro. You got it. That's the coldest shit I've ever seen, bro.
Yeah, watched like a motherfucker.
Dude, like, that was wild, bro.
The way that, like, such mirrors, like, Lakeith's character's dream, where, like he's, like, dreaming, like, he's shooting himself. It's like, yeah, like, here it is. This is what you've done to yourself. You've done this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to himself, though, too.
But as in, like, he's put himself in a situation, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I also that, like, it shouldn't have to be compared to like, it doesn't have to be compared to other movies. It does stand on its own. But like, in the way of, like, because of its subject material, I will mention of like Detroit, and I'll mention, like, just because of recency bias, One Night in Miami. You've already mentioned Malcolm X. Like, if you're looking for more of this, or like different facets of the terrible things that have been done to Black people, and the efforts for freedom, or just to make it through the day, those are some more movies you can watch.
Yep. And also, I want to say, I know, Brad, you and I have pretty much, like, we were like, hey, after Joaquin Phoenix, give the Joker rest, some rest. We don't need it anymore. Like, you know, we got the best that we can get. I am in the club now. I want Lakeith Stanfield as Joker. I want to see what the hell that man could do with that. I mean, I'm sorry. I agree with Aiden. I want this so bad now.
I don't need another fucking Joker.
Bro,
that part.
I don't need another
Joker. Not that he wouldn't be good at it.
He'd be great. I just don't need another fucking Joker.
I'm just tired of these, like, pillars.
Like
I know. I'm tired of it.
Like, how about we do a different villain? Like, let's do a different villain. How about that?
Like, let's make him Hush. Let's make him Hush. Yeah,
I'm down with that. Let's make him Hush.
I know, but I agree with everything that you guys are saying. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I want to see fucking.
We gotta get away from the Joker.
I want to see.
Gotta get away from the Joker. Let's do Clayface.
Yo,
how about Clayface? How about the fucking giant penny? Let's do the giant penny finally.
We've been riding the fucking Joker so long that we done got Joker Jesus, y'all. Let's cut it.
That's not our fault. That's not our fault.
That it kind of is, but we keep allowing. We
finna watch this shit. Like,
we keep going back for the same fucking villain. Mm-hmm. Like, give me something different. Like, you know, Two-Face has been what? Two of them? You can do another fucking Two-Face.
Yeah, down for it. Shit up. Today?
Let's go ahead and move on to our final verdict here. Like I said, I agree with everything you guys are saying, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, I want to see Lakeith kill that shit. I want to see him kill
How about we do a totally different movie, standalone movie, where he's head of it that's not the Joker?
Shit, make him the question, who isn't a villain, but could, like, you could deal with like, questioning one's mental health and, like, what is true and what isn't.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to our final verdict here. Gio, what are you going to go ahead and give Judas and the Black Messiah?
Okay, so given this show's 10-point scale, I, even though, like I started off by saying, like, yeah, I've seen a lot of, like, this kind of thing before, but that's, like, not the movie's fault. The movie is very well put together and very well acted. So I give it 8.5 out of 10.
8.5 out of 10. Bradley?
I think the cinematography on this is gorgeous.
Next fucking level.
Acting is terrific. It's another tragic story, one we've heard told over and over again, which isn't the movie's fault, but they do bring Fred Hampton's story to us, which is a lot like a lot of other stories, but it is his story, and it's good that it got told. So for all that, I'm giving it 10 out of 10.
All right. And I'm going to go ahead and give Judas and the Black Messiah, my favorite movie of the year so far, a resounding 9.5 out of 10. All right.
I have a question, though.
What's up?
Well, this is your favorite movie of the year, but you gave One Night in Miami a 10.
One in Miami was 2020.
Speak now.
Wait, hold on. Am I wrong here? Because One Night in Miami is 2020.
It might have been in 2020, but we didn't see it till 2021.
Okay, yeah, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. That's not how it works for me.
No, his list, you know, like, he does his whole list of, like, movies my that list? Came out in 2021.
Yeah,
movies like ranks like that.
Yeah, movies that were wide released in 2021. Okay.
This movie was wide released, or One Night in Miami was wide released in 2021.
No, it wasn't.
We couldn't watch it in 2020.
Brad, it had a release in 2020.
It released on Christmas.
Yeah, bro. It released in Christmas.
It didn't come to Amazon until January.
Yes, but it was released in theaters in Christmas, so it meant that its release date was January. Huh?
You motherfucker.
Fuck you, Brad. I know you're going to end up putting that movie in your top 2021 list. I don't care. I'm telling you right now that One Night in Miami is a 2020 film. All right?
Films I watched in 2021. Terminator
is in my top 10. Brad. How does that not make sense, Brad? All right, man.
Because you could go to movie theaters in 1984.
Shut up, Brad.
You know what? Yeah, let me just pull off my... Hold on. I'll be right back. Let me just grab something.
I would like to say that, what's it called? My favorite actor right now at the moment is Lakeith Stanfield.
Now that I have my time machine, let me go back to 1984. Hit ass.
Oh, man. fantastic. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we're starting our road to Godzilla versus Kong. So we are going to be reviewing Godzilla 2014 next week. And I'm pretty sure our whole host will be here for that again. So we'll do Godzilla 2014 next week. Week after that, we do Kong Skull Island. Week after that, we do Godzilla versus Kong. I mean, Godzilla versus Kong. Godzilla King of the Monsters. Week after that, we do Godzilla versus Kong. So it's all leading to the eventful showdown of Godzilla and King Kong, bro. So without further ado, I want to thank all the wonderful people who are here, Ian956 and Stacy DeBro. Watch it when that book gets up 88 miles per hour. You're going to see some serious
news. Yeah, I bought multiple copies because I know this will end in immolation.
Yeah. Thank you to our patrons for making this show happen. You all are wonderful. I want to thank you all so much. Our wonderful executive producer, Sarah. Thank you so much for being an associate producer. Associate producer, Sarah. Thank you so much for being part of our team here and helping us make our dreams come true here. And our executive producer, Shane.
You follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/xsrk_ or on Twitch at twitch.tv/xsrk.
All right. And also our wonderful writers who we did a commentary for already, BrownRice96, on everything. Thank you, Bryce, for being a writer of the show. And our wonderful nerdy dad,
Tony.
At Real Nerdy Dad on Twitter. We'll be doing Earth Girls Are Easy, probably not this week, but the next one, the following. So, you know, that's going to be fun. Fuck.
A good commentary.
Yeah, that's going to be a good commentary. Life finds a way. Yeah, it sure does, Brad. It sure does in that film. But also our wonderful showrunner, Taymor 23, T-A-Y-M-O-R 23. Thank you, Taymor. Let's go. You know, we know that you're not a showrunner this month, but we still want to give you your thanks. Our thanks. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, it's been a wonderful time. And Gio, you want to let them know where they can find you?
Hi. I didn't see you there. You can follow me at MediaMartyr17. One day I'll be able to run it straight. without laughing at y'all laughing at me. Okay. You can follow me at MediaMartyr17. That's MediaMartyr17 on Twitter. On there, there's a link tree for all the places I am or have been on the internet, including Share Club Pod. We're recording in a few weeks, and we're where podcasts can be found. And if you need a link to where those podcast things, because it doesn't tabulate it yet because we're still brand new, I will send you a link. Share Club Pod.
He will come to your house and give you a link.
Give me the link. Mm-hmm. All right. As always, thank you all so much for joining us. It's been a wonderful time. Bradley, set him out.
All right, Ro. Thank you, being host as always. Thank you to Gio for being the host.
Ho-host.
Thank you to all those who joined us in chat today. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. Love all you. And, I guess to end this, I'm just going to say no more fucking Joker films. I don't care who you put in it. I don't care if you have to resurrect someone to put in it. No more fucking Joker films. Young Yoda out.